Jeff Woods from Custom Fit joins us once again. Jeff, we've got a lot of athletes at every level now getting back into sports, and obviously we're talking more older athletes, definitely not for younger kids. But, you know, a lot of athletes, as the season goes along, you know, especially young kids, you're 15, 16 now, and you kind of get worn down. Your sleep maybe is not as much as you would like, and obviously you want to try to keep that. But why is it so difficult for athletes to maintain strength in a competitive season?
Well, you just hit it on the head. It's a long play season for both amateur and professional athletes. And I'm going to use the NHL as an example here. And, Gregor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the NHL season is probably, what, 82 games? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So then 16 of those 31 teams make the playoffs. So you've got a season that could last, you know, over 100 games if you go to the bitter end. So the morning skates on game day, travel time, all of that. So it makes it really difficult for those guys to do all their sport-specific training and then try to do some strength training in there too. It's almost impossible. The same thing goes for our young 15- and 16-year-olds that you talked about. They've got their school commitment. They're trying to play like a 40-game season and, you know, study and get proper nutrition and everything else. It's almost impossible to do it all. So as a result, in both situations, the ability to get quality recovery is very difficult. So your strength actually declines over the course of the play season, and in some cases you're losing lean muscle mass as well.
Okay. So that's obviously something that's going to be difficult to completely overcome. So what can they implement to try to not lose that, to at least stay strong? What are some of the changes in the studies that suggest different things to do to maintain strength during a season?
Okay, so good question. So first of all, it's important to develop some sort of periodization model. And we've talked about that before. So you've got to have a plan. And that periodization plan is just a series of little microcycles of training with a specific focus to produce a desired adaptation. So, for example, in the off season, that's going to be your best offense during the regular season to stay strong. And that's what the focus is for 12 to 16 weeks in the off season. It's just about strength development. We're not doing a whole lot of on-ice training. We're doing a little bit of speed and agility work. But for that 12 to 16 weeks, you're going to have maybe 3-4-week blocks of progressive loading, just performing all the basic primal movements, like all your squats, squat variations, upper body pushes and pulls. And the actual program itself in the off season might be, for the first 4-week block, we're going to use loads that force the athlete to fail at 12 reps with about 60 seconds rest between your sets. Then the second 4-week block, you're going to load it up a little bit more over those same basic exercises for 8 reps. Now you're going to take 2 minutes rest. So we need more recovery time between sets because the weight load has gone up. But that forces further adaptations and strength. And then the third 4-week block, maybe we're going to use loads that force failure at 5 reps, and you're going to actually take 3 minutes rest between your sets. So that's one way of building up your strength. And whatever happens in the off season, Gregor, as far as your strength development, that's what you're going to carry into the season as far as your maximal effort strength. Now, the goal is to try and maintain it once training camp opens in September and through that long playing season. So here's what the research says on that topic. So in season, now where the on-ice work increases to maybe 4, 5, or even 7 days a week in some cases, depending on tournament play, but your strength training comes down to only one time every 7 to 10 days in season. And I've looked at research where it talked about only 1 to at the very highest 3 sets with 5 to 8 reps and resting 3 minutes between sets. And when tested, hockey players and other athletes that have a long playing season were able to maintain their maximal effort, 1 repetition strength when tested in the off season.
So you're saying now that lifting heavy for shorter reps will benefit you more than a longer workout?
Yeah, absolutely, because you can recover. I mean, the heavy loading, obviously, you're going to need some recovery time from that. But if you're only working out with weights in the playing season, like once every 7 to 10 days, but, you know, a lot of trainers and people misunderstand the maintenance training principle. And when we're trying to maintain, you can reduce the amount of work or the volume of work, but the intensity has to go up in order to maintain strength. And intensity in this conversation is the weight load. So you have to keep those weights heavy, like failing in that 5-repetition zone, so that you can maintain more maximum effort strength. Now, there's lots of science out there that sort of talks about, you know, making strength gains in the higher repetition continuum, and that is true. But you have to give a slight edge to the heavier loading to maintain more maximal effort strength. There's a slight advantage to that.
Okay. So for now, obviously younger kids like 16, 17, they're going to get fatigued. They don't play as many games as NHL players. We're talking about kids. Is there, you know, how much of just ensuring that they get proper rest will play a big factor? And do parents and maybe even teams, like, do they really have to be monitoring that for young kids, 15, 16, 17, who are trying to be elite athletes in different sports?
They most certainly do, and that's a great question. And there's some new research that speaks to sleep. Now, the sweet spot for athletes, the recommendation is 10 hours. For the general population, the recommendation for sleep is 7 to 9 hours. But again, when we look at test data on young college basketball players, when they're getting 7 hours or less of sleep, and we test them for 40-meter sprints, vertical jump, free throw percentage, and their times through reaction drills, every single category, they were far, far better when they get the 10 hours of sleep. And this transfers to other sports, too. It's just not basketball. It's everything. But I think, like you point out, as parents, we have to cut out the blue light and shut down the TV in the bedroom of kids and provide environments that are conducive to sleep, cooler temperatures, nice dark rooms, for example. And I know the phone thing is a tough one with the young ones, but there is no benefit in having that phone get tucked into bed with you. If you can sort of get rid of that at least 90 minutes, 2 hours before you anticipate trying to sleep, it'll make a monumental difference. The other thing would be supplementation too. I get parents asking me about supplementation for their young athletes all the time. So with that, I think the one thing to be aware of is, first of all, like protein needs for all athletes and young athletes is going to be a little bit higher than the general population. So for athletes, you're looking at probably 1.6 to 2.2 grams per kilogram of body weight. And that's a very simple thing to figure out. Now, and again, I want to stay in my lane here on the nutrition thing. And I think for any coaches or parents that are listening out there today, you know, having a registered dietitian with a background in sport performance come and talk to your team or talk to your young athletes makes really good sense. Most trainers, they have some background when it comes to nutritional sciences, but it's a very small component, quite frankly, of our educational base. But again, there's some crossover here because we talk about it all the time, and it's important for parents to understand that you're a bit more protein. And I get asked a lot about creatine monohydrate, Gregor. Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, it's a supplement, and we have resting levels of creatine in our muscle cell already from a good nutritious diet, and you get it from meat and fish. And what the creatine monohydrate does, it helps to curb the breakdown of the ATP cell. That's the energy in the muscle cell. So we can, by taking creatine, buffer the breakdown of that energy cell, and we can prolong anaerobic activity, like skating really quick for 20 or 30 seconds. We might not fatigue as quick, or if we're lifting weights, we might be able to do a couple of extra reps at heavier weight if we're, you know, going through a cycle of creatine. Now, the other thing for youngsters under the age of 18, taking creatine might not be the answer there. For our older athletes, this again might be appropriate, but for young athletes, maybe not. They might have to sort of rely on getting their creatine from a well-balanced diet. But then that's where the registered dietitian comes in. They can help to analyze your needs, make appropriate recommendations based on that profile.
Jeff, great stuff, man. Really appreciate it.
Okay, good, Gregor. See you next week.